We are well aware of the comparisons between Pinchas and Eliyahu HaNavi. We are replete throughout the words of Chazal and the Zohar HaKadosh, as we'll see momentarily, with the great comparison between Pinchas being the same person as Eliyahu. And it's certainly very important for nice drashos, and it's important to explain different and difficult passages in Tanakh. But perhaps, as we'll see by the end of this, there's a deeper lesson for us and every single person regarding what it means to be someone who is like Pinchas and Eliyahu, and what midah do these two entities join together, and how can we take these midos and apply it to our very own lives. The number of sources, just to make sure that we're very clear that Pinchas is Eliyahu, one of the most famous sources is the Pirkei de Rabbi Yezer in Perek Chav Tes, where there's a conversation between the Kadosh Baruch Hu and Eliyahu HaNavi, regarding whether the Jewish people are good or not. And Eliyahu HaNavi makes a comment disparaging the Jewish people, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, well, as a punishment or a reward, depending on the Shitas and the Akronim, you are going to have to attend every single Bris Milah. We know that Eliyahu Malach HaBris comes every Bris Milah, and the Pirkei de Rabbi Yezer says that because you were a kanai before in the times of the Torah when you killed the people there, and you're also a kanai now, always, you know, making sure the Jewish people are doing the best thing, so therefore this is your midah to be a zealot. So we see from the Pirkei de Rabbi Yezer that they assume that Pinchas and Eliyahu are the same person. That as a nafkamina, Eliyahu coming to the bris, we know, and therefore we know anyone who goes to a bris gets kapara, as the Bnei Yisrael writes in the Bnei Yisrael and the Igor Zapirka, that a person who goes to the bris milah gets kapara because Eliyahu Navi is there as well. This is repeated as well in the Yalkut Shimoni, in a number of places in our parsha, that Eliyahu is Pinchas. The Targum Yonasan, in a number of places, in the beginning of Shmos, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shlach na biyad tishlach, that Moshe says to Hashem, I'm not going to go, you should send whoever you want. So the Targum Yonasan says, you should send Eliyahu HaNavi, who's Pinchas, because he's going to bring the ultimate geula, and why should I be the shliach now? Because I know we're going to go, and I'm not going to get to Eretz Yisrael, and the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, but if Eliyahu HaNavi is the shliach to bring out Bnei Yisrael, so then that would be enough to make the geula be forever, and the Jewish people would never have to go into Galus. There, the Targum Yonasan says very clearly that Pinchas is Eliyahu. It happens to be that Radal writes in his Hakdama to his Perush on the Pirkei de Rabbi Yezer that the Targum Yonasan on Chumash, which is not, as we know, really Yonasan ben Uziel, as the Gemara in Megillah says that he only wrote a parish on Nevi'im, he never wrote anything on Torah. What we have is Miyuchas to Yonasan ben Uziel, but the Radal says that everything that the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel on Chumash takes is coming from the Pirkei de Rabbi Yezer. So it's not such a chiddush that the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says the same thing as the Pirkei de Rabbi Yezer, because they're pretty much the same thing. In addition, the Zohar HaKadosh assumes this throughout. It says multiple times, tens and tens of times, that Pinchas is Eliyahu. The Baal HaTurim says, as we know in this week's Parsha, the Vav of the word Shalom is Ketiyah. That's a Gemara, and there's a Machlokas in the Rishon, and what it means, the Vav is Ketiyah. Either it means that it's a Yud, either it means that the Vav is shorter than it should be, or it means there's a line cutting through the Vav. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yekiva Eger that we paskin like. But regardless, the Baal HaTurim says that the Vav of Shalom is Ketiyah, because really, Pinchas is Eliyahu, and we know that Eliyahu, his name is often spelled without the Vav. The Vav was taken away by Yaakov Avinu as a mashkon to ensure that Eliyahu HaNavi would come. And the Baal HaTurim assumes again that Eliyahu is Pinchas. They are all the same people as well. Rabbeinu Bachya says that Shalom is a notrikun, meaning like a slight roshei tevos, for Shalo Yamos. Shalom, the midah of Pinchas is Shalo Yamos. Shalom, that he and Eliyahu are the same people who have never died. There are shitas that do go against this. There's a Gemara in Bava Basra in Kuf Chaf Aleph where it says there are seven men whose lives cover the expanse of the entire world. So it says Adam, then Mesushelach, and then Shem, and Yaakov, and Amram, Acha, Shiloni, and then Eliyahu. Those seven people, they all lived through the other person's life, and Eliyahu HaNavi lives forever, and therefore those seven people, their lives cover the expanse of the entire history of the world. So the Rashbam and Tosfos there note that this Manda Amar, this Tana, is going through the Shita that Eliyahu is not Pinchas. Why? Why is that the case? Because if Eliyahu was Pinchas, so then the Gemara could have said, there's only six people, you don't need to come on to seven. Because they could have said that Moshe saw Amram, and that Pinchas saw Moshe, and lo and behold, and that's it. What do you need anybody else for? That would have cut out Achya Shiloni. And therefore it must be, according to this man to Amar, Pinchas is not Eliyahu. Or the Gemara would have said that there were six people and not seven. This is the Shita of brought by the Rashbam and the Tosas. In addition, the Ibn Ezra and Bamidbar here in this week's Parsha says in the Pasuk of the Haisalo Ulzaro Acharav, it'll be for a bracha for him and his children afterwards. So the Ibn Ezra says, Mikan Raya, that Pinchas is not Eliyahu, because why would the Torah say Ulzaro Acharav and his children who come after him, implying that he won't be around anymore? So clearly, Pinchas is not Eliyahu, because Pinchas is going to die, according to the Ibn Ezra, and Eliyahu Navi lives forever. So therefore, it must be that Pinchas is not the same as Eliyahu, because why would he need to have Ulzaro Acharav? Why would he need to have children who come after him if he's going to be living along past his children, because he will live forever? Another shita that doesn't agree, the Ramban here, famously, not here, but the Ramban notes in Parshas Vayishlach, where the Ibn Ezra makes a comment that it can't be that Moshe's mother was born Bein HaChamos, and she lived for so long, because that would have been such a great miracle. Why wouldn't the Torah have told us about Moshe's mother living such a long time? So there the Ramban, where he attacks the Ibn Ezra, says that this is also another place where he seems to go against Chazal and Midrashim, and he writes very sharply, V'zehu zohav roseach yutzach b'fi chachacham hazem, that we should pour molten gold into the mouth of this Chacham, Mimasha Heshiv al Rabosenu Be'inyan Pinchas, where he disagrees with Chazal when it comes to Pinchas. So, the Ibn Ezra Shita, the Ramban very strongly disagrees. And also, not a small opinion, the Rambam also clearly holds that Pinchas is not Eliyahu. Because in the Rambam's Hakdama to the Mishnah Torah, where he lays out the entire Masorah, so he says that Pinchas was Makabel from Yehoshua, and then later on he says that Eliyahu was Makabel the Torah from Achya Shiloni. So if they're the same person, so why would the Rambam say that the same person was Makabel the Torah twice? So there certainly are shitas in the Rishonim that don't hold that Pinchas is Eliyahu, but clearly the far majority of the Rishonim and Chazal hold that Pinchas is Eliyahu, which brings us to two shitas over here we have on the first sheet. The Gemara in Bava Metzia Kuf Yudal Amar Aleph says, Ashkeche Rabbi Bar Avuel Eliyahu Tekai Beveis HaKvaros Shel Oved Kochavim, that he found Eliyahu Navi in the Beis HaKvaros of Goyim. So Amar Le, Lav Kohen Hu. So he said to Eliyahu, aren't you a Kohen Hu? Aren't you a Kohen? Mar Mai Taima Kimar Beis HaKvaros. What are you doing in a cemetery if you're a Kohen? So Amar Le, Eliyahu Navi said to him, Lo Mas Nimar Taharos. Didn't you learn Masachas Tairos? Titanya, Rabbi Shum Bar Yochai Omer, Kivrayan Shalda Kachavim Eim Tamein. That the graves of the Goyim are not Matame for a Kohen. That's only a Dindar Abanan, that we're Machmer, the Kohanim don't go to the graves of non-Jews. Says Rashi, Ikalamanda Amar, this is only going according to the opinion to Eliyahu hu Pinchas, that Eliyahu is Pinchas. Tchsiv bei kana kinesi, v'chein bepinchas bekano es kinesi. That Pinchas is this great zealot, just like Eliyahu Navi was this great zealot as well. Now, this touches on a machlokas regarding what was Eliyahu Navi. It's not clear in the Pesukim that Eliyahu Navi was a Kohen. We don't know anything about his family, as we'll see later on. So this is clearly going to the Shita that he's from Levi. There are other Shitas that hold that he wasn't from Levi. Let's look at the Targum Yonasan here in this week's Parsha. So Lei min Shemaya Ha'ana Gazar Leisi Aikaime Shalem Ba'abidana Malach, I'm going to turn you into Malach Kayam, an angel that will be forever, V'yichid La'almei L'mivisrei Ge'ulasa, the one who will announce the Ge'ula B'sof Yoma, in the end of days. So again, the Targum Yonasan, assuming that Eliyahu is Pinchas. Now, there is a comment of the Sforno as well on this week's Parsha, and he explains, why is the bracha of Shalom connected to Eliyahu / Pinchas living forever? What do the two things have to do with each other? So you're going to have Shalom, and it'll be very nice, but why does that mean that you get to live forever, that Eliyahu Navi exists to this day? So look at what the Sforno says beautifully. As Brisi Shalom, Mimalach Hamavas, you will have Shalom from the angel of death. Ke'inyan Osa Shalom Bimromav. Ki amnam ha-hefseid lo yikra ela besibas hisnagdus ha-fachim. Loss, destruction, pain only comes to the world when there is conflict amongst different sides. But if there's no conflict, so then there won't be any loss to a human being. V'ze'amnam niskayim b'Pinchas. And this we find in Pinchas. She'erich yamim harbe me'od. That Pinchas lived incredibly long time. Meaning, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Pinchas a bracha of shalom, and now he has this shalom within himself and other people, a direct correlate of that having shalom now means that Pinchas will live for a very long time. And he explains, how do we see this? Even if he's not Eliyahu Navi, he says he lived much longer. Adshaya Mishamish Mishkan Shiloh, that he served in the Mishkan and Shiloh, Bizman Pilegesh Begiva, Shahaya Blisafik Achre Mos Yoshua. He certainly lived longer than Yoshua, and all the Zakenim Asher Arichu Yamim Achre Yoshua, and he lived longer than the students of Yoshua, Bekol Shekenim Haya Mizman Yiftach, and he lived into the time of Yiftach, Shekasav Lamalach Bnei Amon, Bishabas Yisrael Becheshman of Noseh Sholosh Me'ashana, Bekar Sipru Chazal, and Chazal tell us, Shepinchas L'Ratza L'Lachas Az Al Yiftach L'Hatir Nidro, V'kol Shekin L'Divra He'omer Eliyahu Zepinchas, V'adayin Chai V'kayam. We know that Yiftach made a very big mistake, right? He said that if he was successful in battle, the first thing that would come out of the house, he would offer as an ola to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the first thing that came out of the house was his daughter. So that was awkward. There's a machlokas in Chazal, in the Rishonim, what actually happened. Does it mean his daughter just remained celibate for the rest of her life? Did it mean that she was actually offered as a korban? Whatever it may be. But the Chazal tell us that they told Yiftach, go be Matzer Neder, go get out of this, go ask a Shaila. So Pinchas was the Gadol Ador at that time, and Yiftach said, I'm not going to go, he should come to me, I'm the Shofet. And Pinchas said, I'm not going, I'm the Kohen. And they never went to each other, and the whole thing was never resolved. And that was the end of that. So whatever you want to say about the story, but Mikan Raya, that Pinchas lived a very, very long time, according to the Sforah. And this idea regarding the of Shalom and living a long time is a very important idea. The Ma'ari Asad, Talmud of the Talmidim of the Chasam Sofer, writes in Chelek Beis, Simen Kuf Nun Hei, that we are made up, or in the eyes of Chazal, we're made up of four different components. We're made up of water, air, dust, and fire. These are the yesodos that the world is made up of. And he explains that death comes when there's a conflict between these yesodos. That when these things don't work together, when the midah of fire or the aspect of water becomes stronger or weaker, so that comes into that's the idea of conflict, that internally your body starts to have conflict and starts to shut down, and that leads to the end of life. Whether you want to take this literally, that there's fire, water, dust, or air, or you want to take it to be that the compounds within the body, or the cells, or whatever it may be, when there's conflict, things begin to shut down inside the body. And this is played out beautifully in a kuntrus of Rav Yosef Engel. Rav Yosef Engel was the Rav of Krakow, one of the Gedolei Hador. His Sfarim are amazing, his Chidushim are amazing. So he wrote a sefer called Shivim Panim LaTorah. And in the back of the Shivim Panim LaTorah, he wrote a small kuntrus called Shev D'Nechemta. His mother passed away, and he was unable to make it to his mother's levaya. And he was very broken by this. And during the Shiva, he was unable to control his thoughts of Talmud Torah. We have this idea in other places. The Ragachover said he was an Istanist, that he was unable to not learn Torah. The Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said about his brother Rabbi Soloveitchik that he also was an Istanist. He had to learn Torah during Shiva. So he also was in this level where he just had to think and learn and speak out Torah during Shiva. And during Shiva, he just had all these ideas, Chidushim, that came to him, and he wrote them all up at the end of Shiva, called the Shev D'Nechemta. So in the first Mimer, he says something quite beautiful. He says as follows: "Ulam inyan Eliyahu ba'arba." The Gemara in the beginning of Bracha says that there are different malachim, and their ability to travel depends on how many flaps of their wings, whatever that means, takes them to get there. And the Gemara says that Eliyahu, it takes him four flaps of his wings, or four steps to get where he needs to go. So he explains, what does it mean that Eliyahu is connected to the number of four? What's the number of four have to do with Eliyahu? Nira, lefisha mavur b'sifri, hadrush ki masha Eliyahu chay la'olam, that which Eliyahu lives forever. Hu ki ha'adam murkav me'arbi yisodos eshrua chamayim efer. That man is made up of these four foundational ingredients. V'hamisa ba mipeas hisgabrus ha'yisodos zalzat. And death comes from one of these foundations overriding the other one. The bracha of Pinchas / Eliyahu is that all of these four foundations would always be equal in his life. He would always have this inner peace within his body in a physical way. And therefore, this is the bris shalom that was given to Pinchas. To have be a person of shalom, and he would live a long life because of that. This is the shalom within his body. A person who's one of his yisodos, whether it's the fire or the water or whatever it may be, becomes stronger. And it makes the other one weaker. Al derech mashal. He says, let me give you an example. Kisha gover bo yisod ha'esh. As kopu lasa b'mehirus v'zrizus v'zragshus yiseir. A person who has too much fire becomes very antsy. He's running around, he's very busy, he's not settled, he's very fiery in his personality. And that person, so the midah of Eish now overpowers the other three midos, and that eventually will lead to his demise. Not immediately, but in the long term, it will eventually lead to this imbalance, which will be his demise. Umishi yisota efer, the person who has too much dirt, this is a person who's very slow and heavy and coveted. And this person also, his yisodas are all out of whack, and that'll also eventually lead to his demise. V'alkein i'efsha shi'isyachso ma'yasav el kol arba yisodos kim shi'isoda echad ha'gover bo pulaso yisera b'ma'yasav mikol shi'isodos. And this is just the way of life, that one side of one of your midos, one of your inner functionings will overpower the other. This is just the way we are. And it follows the most dominant yisod. Boba Adamahu Masha Ain Kain. However, Eliyahu, Shabo Arba Yisodosav, Muzokos Boba Shava Mitsi, Eliyahu was perfectly balanced in all of his midos. Vein Echan Mehen Gover Al Chavero, and no one overpowered the other one. Al Kain Kalmasa Shlichusav, Misyachsim El Kol Arba Yisodos Bishav. And therefore, his entire Shlichus, his entire essence of being a messenger of a Kadosh Baruch Hu was balanced. And therefore what it means is, Eliyahu Navi, who lives forever, he had all four of these things balanced together, and therefore his path of being a Shliach of a Kadosh Baruch Hu came in the number four. Then he says something remarkable. That death comes because of this imbalance internally. And this leads to death of every single person. Every single person eventually passes away because of this internal imbalance and struggle and lack of shalom. And then he has a geshmak explanation of a pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Chayisara. Vayihi Chayisara Mea Shana Ve'Esrim Shana V'Sheva Shanim Shnei Chayisara. That Sarah lived for this amount of time. Says Rashi Bas Kuf Kebas Chaf Shlok Kebas Chet. She lacked any sin. She was very innocent. Avial Kain Tamas Sarah B'Kiryas Arba. Why are we being told that she died in Kiryas Arba? What does that mean? He Chevron, that's also what Chevron is called. In Sarah's death, her Arba, her Kiryas Arba, were Bechevron. They were Bechibur. They were equally balanced. They were together. Everything fit in her life. All four fit seamlessly. Umisa rak ade itu shanachash, and she only died because Kadosh Baruch Hu sent the Nachash to end her life. But in her essence, Sarah should have lived forever. She was Kiryas Arba Bechevron. All of her Arba, all of her four Yesodos were Bechibur, equally balanced together in a perfectly aligned way. A very, very beautiful explanation regarding the death of Sarah. Look at the Vayikra Rabin Chavzayin Dalid, Rav Yehuda Omer, Im Yomar Locha Adam, She'ilu Lo Chet Adam HaRishon, V'akol Me'uso Eitzai Achai V'kain Lo'olam. Person's going to ask a Shaila, right? We always say, if we need from the Eitzai Das, so he would have lived forever, right? So someone's going to ask a shot. Says who? Where do we see such a raya that if we wouldn't have eaten from the Eitz Hadas, so he would have lived forever? Amar lo ata, say to this person, Kvar haya Eliyahu shlo chet, hu chai v'kim la'olam, Eliyahu Navi did not sin, and therefore he lives forever. Ha raya. You want to see what the world could have been like if we wouldn't have eaten from the Eitz Hadas? Eliyahu Navi would have lived forever. His perfect yesodos all balanced together without any inner conflict. Rav Moshe Cordovero wrote a sefer called the Pardes Rimonim. And in the Pardes Rimonim, in the Shar HaYichalos in Perek Yudalid, he records a letter or a conversation he heard in the name of Rav Moshe de Leon. Who's Rav Moshe de Leon? Rav Moshe de Leon is, we should know, he is the first publisher, if not editor, regardless of the history of the Zohar, the first person to put the Zohar HaKadosh onto the scene. And he apparently wrote the following very interesting idea. He says as follows, Matzano b'shem Rav Moshe de Leon Zal, V'alma sh'sheilas b'inyan Eliyahu sh'ala l'marom, ma sh'alo ha'ala adam achar. How could it be that Eliyahu Navi went up to Shemayim, but nobody else did this? Teda l'cha ki b'sisrei Torah re'isi so nifla anmod. I found an amazing idea in the secrets of the Torah. Eliyahu lo timso lo b'chol ha'Torah av ve'em, v'lo sh'kasuv bo ben ploni. You'll never find anyone saying anything about Eliyahu Navi's parents. He's only Eliyahu HaTishbi. That's it. Va'amru ki kodem l'chein yarad min ha'shamayim u'shmo yadua b'sisrei ha'chachma. Because Eliyahu HaNavi is really a malach. And he was brought into this world in physical form, and he lived in this world in a physical manner, but he really had no parents because he was created as a malach. Amazing. Vim Tomar, and then you're going to say, Hayek hayekol osam hashanim v'chol oso asman demuso v'aru demus adam. But how could it be? How could he look like a person if he's a malach? Im nira hu la'asha o yom v'lo yoser. Amru shebisha shebikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu levro. So says HaKadosh Baruch Hu as follows. That when he wanted to create the world, he asked the malachim, should we make man? And the malachim said, no, we shouldn't make man. And then eventually he goes on to say, he asked this malach, and he said, oh, you should make man, because they're going to do great things. And this was the malach that became Eliyahu HaNavi, and this was sent down into this world. Okay? And he doesn't come onto the scene until the times of Achav. This is that his neshama was saved until the times of Achav. Go down to the period in the towards the end of that paragraph where it says Binyan Achav, Uli Yamim Uwatim Shamim Zeba Olam Talil Lamakum Lishmei Marom. And then after he brought Emunah into the world by getting Klai Yisrael to say Hashem Hu Elokim, and he brought Emunah back to the Jewish people, so then his job in this world was finished. And the Malach went back up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'amar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ata apotropos, you are now going to be the guardian over the Emunah of the Jewish people. Now, skip down to the small line in the middle there, the next paragraph in the middle. So Rav Moshe Cordovero begins to write now. He says, Hadata hazeh bitul ma'atzma mitoch divrei harashbi. So he said, this is a very nice idea, but it's mamash lehefech, everything we've spoken about. This is against the Zohar. That clearly Eliyahu HaNavi was a ben adam, he was a human being. The whole machlokes is what shevet did he come from? But no one would ever say that Eliyahu HaNavi is mamish a malach Hashem. It cannot be. So this is the first attack. The first attack against Rav Moshe de Leon is that it's just not the Metzius in the Gemara. Eliyahu HaNavi was a person, not a malach. But I have a second taina, and this is a taina hashkafa against the idea that Eliyahu HaNavi is a malach. Because what is the lesson for us as Bnei Aliyah if Eliyahu HaNavi is a malach Hashem? What's the lesson of Brisi Shalom if Eliyahu HaNavi is just a malach from a Kadosh Baruch Hu? How are we supposed to look at Eliyahu HaNavi as a shining example of how to act as a person if he's a malach. We have nothing to compare to. We can't possibly ever become like Eliyahu HaNavi then. This is similar, but in the opposite way, regarding the famous story brought by the Tiferes Yisrael, the end of Maseches Kedushin. It tells a Maisa there that he heard B'Shem HaChacham, that when Moshe Rabbeinu took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, so people heard about this fantastic Moshe Rabbeinu, and a king from a faraway nation sent an artist to take a picture, to draw a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu, and then bring it back. So the guy went, and he found Moshe, he drew a picture, he brought it back, and then these people in his kingdom who were experts in looking at the faces of people and telling you about their inner essence said that this is the face of a Rasha. So the king was very disturbed, and he wanted to go meet this man. How could it be that this is the great Moshe Rabbeinu, but he has the face of a Rasha? And he went to Moshe, and he said, this is what they tell me, that you're a Rasha, but how can you do all these great things? And Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, it's true in my essence, I was not such a great person, but I overcame my midos, and then, you know, I became into Moshe Rabbeinu. So in this published story, in the Tiferes Yisrael, all the Rabbanim wanted to edit it out. They wanted to censor it out, because they thought, how could it be? Moshe Rabbeinu needs to be like a Malach Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who gave us the Torah. He needs to be as close to Kadosh Baruch Hu as follows. So it's the same idea, just the Hefech. Meaning, sometimes we need to be able to relate and sometimes we don't. But in this case, I think it's very important to relate to the Midah of Eliyahu HaNavi and Pinchas. Because the essence of Arichas Yamin and Shalom is very important. Because not just shalom between other people, but also having an internal shalom, being at peace with oneself. Pinchas was in his essence a person of shalom. He was raised by the feet of Aaron HaKohen, who was in Rodev Shalom. He knew all about shalom. He was a Talmud Chacham in shalom. But sometimes he knew he had to act Laman Hashem. Sometimes a person can be an Ish Shalom and have to act and do things that are zealous, but at the same time, you still need to be and have an inner peace. The essence of the Midah of Pinchas and Eliyahu is to have shalom within one's self, to be happy with oneself, to be happy with who you are, and to be a happy person. And this is the bracha of Brisi Shalom. Think about it. Eliyahu HaNavi is Heishiv Leivavos Albanim. He's the person who brings shalom to the entire world. Rashi Malachi says that Eliyahu is Yavo Lasos Shalom Ba'olam. His whole purpose is to bring shalom into the world. And the Navi Yeshaya says that Eliyahu is the Mevaser Shalom. He's the one who announces and brings shalom to the Jewish people. And the Maharal writes in the Bera Gola that Eliyahu is the opposite of the Malach HaMavis, because the Malach HaMavis is the opposite of shalom. And Eliyahu is the essence of being in Ish Shalom V'chayim. So, a person can certainly be a Baal Shita. You want to have opinions about things, you want to stand up for things, that's fine. But that's only after your core and your essence is shalom. That's only after you have worked on being a person who's nice to everyone, a person who's nice to their family, their siblings, their wife, whatever it may be. And then after you've mastered shalom, so then you can be a Baal Shita. Then you can have opinions. Then you can be a Kanai and go and raise a ruckus. But first you need to have shalom as your bris, as what you're all about. And then, only then, do you go and work on having shitos and perhaps making your opinion known. I'll give you an example. Rav Shach, if one reads Rav Shach's letters, they are full of his shitos about issues with this institution and this area of Chassidus. And Rav Shach had a lot of opinions about certain institutions and certain people, that it was kosher or not kosher. But if you just take the letters on their own, it's a false impression of who Rav Shach was. Rav Shach, even though he was against certain things in the army, he had grandchildren who served in the army, and he loved them, and he watched out for them, and he protected them, and he hugged them, and he kissed them. And when anyone came to him, when from all over the world, he treated them with shalom, and he respected them. In his essence, he was an Ish Shalom who ran and pursued and loved shalom more than anybody else. But certain things he felt he needed to make statements about. But if you only look at the statements as being a zealot, so you miss the picture of who he was. You first need to focus on the shalom of the individual, and then you can see the other shitos that person stands for as well. the doctors say that a person wants to live a long life, so you need to have get rid of stress. So this is the same idea. A person needs to have shalom within themselves. You need to not be such a nervous person. You need to be a normal person who can be able to deal with people. So what are two ways a person can attain shalom internally? So first, you need to know when to make a big deal about something and when not to make a big deal about something. I find that many people are very machmer when it comes to making a big deal about things. You need to be machmer the other way. Not every single thing needs your opinion. Actually, let me say it like this. Most things don't need your opinion. Most things will fix themselves by themselves and will get over it without you helping. Not every single thing needs your sheet or your opinion. If you just let most things go, that will already start to bring an essence of shalom and inner peace into your life. The other thing is to take time to think about how things are going, to analyze, to meditate, in a sense, over, was this the right choice? Should I make this choice in the future? To not always being the midah of Eish, as we saw. The midah of Eish is always running and going and seeing and trying to fix and to do. A balance. The balancing the yesodos within us. To make sure that we analyze, we meditate, we take things slowly, we look and we see and we weigh, and we see how things are going to turn out. And it should be a bracha for shalom and a richas yam tovim for everyone.